This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagier.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Bill Cachard. I am the general manager at Service Rocket, and we are a tech-enabled professional services company. Service Rocket helps software companies create and deliver whole product solutions. So if you've read Crossing the Chasm and are familiar with Geoffrey Moore's work, you're familiar with the whole product. And what we do is help software companies build that out. Software companies that want to focus on their core product, building and selling that, and don't necessarily want to build ecosystems around support and services and customer success and education services, et cetera, and even apps that create that connect their software to other software. They don't necessarily want to build all that out themselves. So many software companies seek help with that, and we help them build all that out. And my role at Service Rocket as general manager, I lead two of our practices. One is our education services practice, building out customer education training programs for our clients, and also our collaborations practice, implementing a workplace from Facebook collaboration and communication software to our clients as well. And I also run our customer success function at Service Rocket.
Bill, how are you involved with user adoption?
I am involved in user adoption in a couple of ways. First, in our applications business, we create numerous software applications that our customers use, some that connect different software products together and some that are standalone. And one of our apps is a learning management system that software companies buy to build and deliver and sell customer training to their customers. So in this case, I'm involved in helping our customers, you know, figure out how to use that software in order to build, deliver, track all of their customer activity and the results they're getting from the training that they offer to customers and how that links back to other business outcomes that they might be looking after. Product adoption is one, and of course, renewals and upselling, expansions, things like that. The second area in which I am involved in user adoption is through our partner practices. So one thing we do is help our partner software companies deploy their software with services. So that could mean, one, we help our partners build apps, again, like I said before, that connect software. So our most popular app product is a software that connects Jira and Salesforce. So you can imagine the user adoption challenges, getting people to use Jira and Salesforce and getting the data to sync and getting two different teams to both use that together so that customer-facing teams are in line with the support or engineering teams, the back end using different tools. So that's one thing we do. Another example of where I'd be helping with adoption is when our partners have customers deploying their software like Workplace from Facebook or Jira or Confluence. The enterprise customer is often asking us for help in the change management or the implementations and or the deployments and or the expansions in that software. So we work with third-party software at the enterprise customer level to help them adopt software. But basically, it comes down to using services of various kinds, support, training, customer success, professional services, et cetera, using services to get users to adopt the products that they're buying.
Bill, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with user adoption?
I look at user adoption at the macro level, and that means in the context of the technology adoption lifecycle. So in that context, the biggest successes I've seen, and I'm not alone in noticing these, but think about these software companies, Salesforce, and they're evangelizing the CRM and most, more importantly, the cloud software space. Think about Cloudera and how they propagated the big data analytics category, HubSpot with inbound marketing, and Gainsight with customer success software. In all of these cases, these companies evangelized the category of the software that they built. to do. So they defined a problem in the world, and then they helped people solve that problem. And not necessarily at the feature level did they evangelize, right? Or at the product level. But what they did was they, in every case, they came in at this at the job level or at the category level. So one thing Salesforce did brilliantly was their tag of no software. You know, they were sort of poking fun at the on-prem perpetual license software model, saying you don't need to install your own data centers and models. There's a better way to do it. This is better, easier on you. Buy cloud software and we'll do all that work for you. Blah, blah, blah. That was their message. Cloudera said, hey, if you want to make big decisions and transform your business, you better get your data together. And it's all over the place. And how are you going to deal with all this unstructured data? Let's get it all in one place so we can make decisions, right? They promoted data science and big data as a category. They even did training courses on how to be a data scientist, not necessarily how to use the software, although they did that too. HubSpot did the same thing. They evangelized inbound marketing as a job to do, not as we have the best software to do it, although their software is very good and got better over time and it's great. They started off evangelizing the category. Gainsight deliberately did that. They evangelized customer success, the job, the profession first. The software came along. That was just a tool to help people become good at that job. So people naturally get on board with that because people say to themselves, I want to be a data scientist. I want to be an inbound marketer. I want to be a customer success manager. And so they get on board the trend, you might say, and then they convince their bosses to buy this software. And there's this adoption that occurs, not at the feature level or at the individual user level, but at the problem level, at the job level. So that's how I look at the successes, you know, at a sort of a macro level. At the challenges level, the biggest challenge I see to user adoption is when companies get caught in this build trap, right? So Melissa Perry talks about this. She has a book called Escaping the Build Trap, but companies get caught into this loop of either staying on their roadmap, right, at the expense of listening to customers, or responding to customer requests and just build. And they sort of lose sight of, well, wait a minute, what does this user actually want to do? Why are they asking us for orange buttons, not blue buttons? And you sort of forget that. And the challenge is getting out of that trap of build, because it's hard because customers are asking for things. And so when you do that, you sort of lose sight of what the customer really wants. And so how do you really get the customer to adopt your product when you're just reacting? You're not leaping ahead and trying to ask why. So that's the biggest challenge, is really not digging into the customer's why and then solving the why rather than just build.
Bill, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
I would start by reading Kathy Sierra's book. It's called Making Users Awesome. And if you haven't read this book, you must, because it will change your mindset about how to help users with adopting your product. Because this book changes you and helps you see that getting users to actually use your product, that's not the goal, right? The goal is helping your customers be better at whatever it is they're doing with your tool or the reason they bought your software in the first place. So I like to share a couple of examples that kind of come from the mindset of Kathy's book. And one of them is to change what question you ask yourself. So for example, instead of asking yourself, so in the context of, let's say, a learning management system, instead of asking yourself, how can we get users to use our course authoring tool, we should ask ourselves, how can we get users to be better instructional designers, right? And by asking yourself that question and by helping our users become better instructional designers, it's by definition, you're going to help them adopt your product to do that, but you're helping them with the goal. Another example is to say, how can we help our users use our e-commerce feature? Well, we shouldn't ask that question. We should ask instead, how can we help our users sell more training to their customers? Now you're helping them be a better seller and all the things surrounding the act of putting a course for sale on a LMS that customers can buy. So we should ask our customers, how can we help them sell more training? So Kathy's lesson really is make your users awesome. And the final thing she would say is don't, and this is kind of a strong statement, but I love it. She says, don't upgrade your camera, upgrade your user, help them be a better photographer. And so that's what I would share as a tip. Go read Kathy Sierra's book, Making Users Awesome.
And where can we find more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Okay, well, you can learn all you need to know about my point of view on user adoption and helping customers on my podcast. It's called Helping Sells Radio. And you can learn more about that at helpingsells.substack.com. And there's almost 300 episodes now. And so very quickly, you'll figure out what I think about helping users. And then you could also learn about the work we're doing at Service Rocket to help software companies build out the whole product at servicerocket.com. That's our website. And you can learn more there too.
Great. Well, thanks, Bill.
Henrik, that's great. Thank you very much.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.